We wanted to let you know that we recorded this episode last week. That was before Tuesday's shooting in Atlanta, in which 8 people died, many of them Asian. That news story is still unfolding, and you can turn to NPR News for updates. Now, on to the show. Raya and the Last Dragon is an animated Disney movie without musical numbers, without romantic intrigue, and with a largely Asian cast that includes Kelly Marie Tran, Gemma Chan, Daniel Dae Kim, Benedict Wong, Sandra Oh, and more. It is a swashbuckling epic about the pursuit of peace, the need for trust, and a young warrior who assembles a ragtag team of misfit heroes that includes the aforementioned Last Dragon, voiced by the great Awkwafina.
I'm gonna be real with you, all right? I'm not like the best dragon, you know?
But you saved the world.
I did do that, that's true. But have you ever done like a group project, but there's like that one kid who didn't pitch in as much, but still ended up with the same grade? Yeah, I wasn't the one who actually made the gem. I just turned it in.
I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we're talking about Raya and the Last Dragon on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. Check on the account balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money on the go. This is Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Also with me for the first time is Laura Sirikol. She's a freelance writer and movie critic. Thanks so much for joining us, Laura.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I'm so excited to talk about this, too.
Well, it's great to have you. So, Raya and the Last Dragon is set in the fictional and fallen empire of Kumandra, which has split into factions. Those factions desperately need to work together to face an existential threat in the form of the mysterious Droon, which turns living things to stone. And, to make matters worse, the only force that has ever beaten the Droon is dragons, almost all of whom were turned to stone by the Droon 500 years earlier. Basically, Raya and the Last Dragon is a quest movie. Kelly Marie Tran plays Raya, who gathers up a group and seeks out the pieces of a broken gem. That gem, if assembled, can restore balance. But Raya, the Last Dragon, whose name is Sisu, played by Awkwafina, and their pals are pursued by an enemy of Raya's named Namari, played by Gemma Chan. Namari's treachery helped make Raya jaded and cynical. Their battles feed into the film's larger messages about teamwork and trust and betrayal and forgiveness. Laura, you've written and talked quite a bit about Raya and the Last Dragon. What did you think of the movie?
Overall, I absolutely loved every aspect of it regarding just the way it looked and the feel of the story and the themes of the story, as well as, you know, the characters. Everything just moved so well together. I did wish it was a musical, but it's just fantastic, though.
Yeah, I had a little bit of the pining for songs. To me, it has a little bit of a tonal issue where, you know, it is this very grand epic. It's trying to pack in a lot, and it's, I think, some of its efforts to infuse the plot with more comedic elements didn't always work for me tonally. And my only complaint about the visuals is it has a little bit of an uncanny valley issue with around eyes and mouths.
Yes, the whole frozen eyes. I definitely agree with that. I am happy to see the other characters, the human characters, kind of share the skin features and like other aspects, like the noses of Southeast Asians and a variety of them. So I did appreciate that. I agree with you on packing so much together. But when I noticed my nephews and my son like watching it, it captures their attention. Like it makes me realize, oh yeah, this is really for them and for us. But I just love the world building of Kumandra and the, you know, surprises of Southeast Asian aspects to it. So, you know, I kind of had to pretend that the frozen eyes weren't, like, my main focus. I know, like, because, like, I looked at, sometimes at Raya's eyes are, like, really, really big, like, especially when she's a young version of herself. But I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to let this go and just enjoy the story and the world that they created.
Yeah, Disney just cannot let go of those weird giant eyes.
At least I know what they're thinking.
I did find really refreshing that there is now a Disney movie. For the longest time, we would talk like, make a Disney movie without princesses. You know, make a Disney movie that is not just like a princess who finds love and adventure and learns to get out of her shell. Like, this moved the ball down the field quite a bit in terms of advancing what a Disney heroine can be. And it seemed to me to be continuing on the trend in movies like Moana that aren't just telling this exact same kind of story the exact kind of way. How did you feel, particularly as a Southeast Asian woman, watching a movie about a Southeast Asian woman?
I was so happy. Honestly, I hate romance in general. When I watch anything and it has romance, I'm just like, I'm over this already. So seeing Raya, you know, just be her own person and not be led by any man. Because with Moana, you know, there's Maui who's helping her lead the way. But in this story, it's Sisu, there's women leading women. And so it was great to have the story of, like, because in Asia, like, you know, there is a lot of patriarchy, but there's also, like, the women lead in many tribes in Southeast Asia, and particularly my family too, where my grandma was the matriarch. It was great to see women empower women.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even beyond that, I mean, when you think about Moana, like, Moana is a story about a young woman who has to kind of learn to row a boat, you know, and learn to, you know, reach her full kind of warrior-ish potential. And in this, her father is kind of trying to steer her toward gentleness in a way. She is basically born Indiana Jones. Like, she is kind of introduced as a child who is already Indiana Jones. And I thought it did a neat job of kind of inverting some of the arcs of even more modern Disney movies.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because you see she's born to be tough. Like, from the very beginning, like, you get that aspect of her. And then when her father tells her, like, hey, you know, we're going to invite people, she goes, oh, we're going to fight them?
Okay, so we're going to need some crossbows and catapults and, oh, what about flaming catapults?
Or how about shrimp paste from tail, lemongrass from talon, bamboo shoots from spine, chilies from fang, and palm sugar from heart?
We'll poison them?
No, we're not going to poison them, and we're not going to fight them. We're going to share a meal with them.
Wait, what?
I love seeing that toughness, and her father just telling her, no, you have to learn how to trust. We want to create this world. And, you know, you see hope in her eyes. I really love just seeing that, because it shows that at one point Raya is able to hope. And so even though we see cynical adult Raya now, it lets us know that she has that in her.
Yeah. Well, you've written about some of the issues surrounding the casting of this film. They clearly did an enormous amount of research in terms of settings in Southeast Asia and in terms of a lot of cultural touchstones of Southeast Asia, but the cast isn't necessarily reflective of that. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, like, I know how hard Disney went through great lengths to make sure they captured Southeast Asia and the cultures and traditions behind Southeast Asia. They really learned the traditions and everything. Then we find out the casting, that the cast consists of majority of East Asians. It kind of was disappointing to see that, you know, they worked so hard to create the Southeast Asian story, and, like, with the screenwriters to the consultants to the head of story being Thai American, to then kind of be overshadowed by the casting choices.
Well, you mentioned in one of your essays about a talent chief who speaks with a Chinese accent.
Now, you're going to tell me where I can find those other Dragon Jam pieces. Or I'll have to leave you outside with that thing.
She plays a major role in Sisu's development, where she's walking with Sisu and she's talking to her. And you could hear the distinct Chinese accent. Because Southeast Asians, particularly Vietnamese, Thai, Cambodian, Laotian, all their accents have a distinct dialect to it. So when she started speaking, I'm like, this is definitely a Chinese accent. Yeah, that was very disappointing to see the beauty of Talon that is inspired by the Thai floating markets, the Vietnamese markets, to be diminished by one voice.
Yeah. in terms of like the main voice cast, what did you think of those central performances? I did appreciate the fact that Kelly Marie Tran, who plays Raya, is kind of given like this big swashbuckling starring role after seeing the way she was sidelined in The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my God, definitely. I'm a huge Kelly Marie Tran fan. And so when she was cast in the role, I was so happy. One, she's a well-known Southeast Asian actress who's very proud of her Vietnamese background. So much so that in her 2018 New York Times opinion piece, she wrote about her Vietnamese side and how she won't be bullied by anyone. And I love that she's just proven that by doing well and excelling, and kind of the bullies are just gonna watch her success. She's so good in this film. There's so much heart to it that I felt so emotional.
Yeah. So Raya and the Last Dragon is streaming through Disney Plus, and you have to have a Disney Plus membership, but then there is a premium ticket price on top of it of $30. So you have your Disney Plus subscription, and then you pay $30, and you can watch Raya and the Last Dragon, or you can wait until June 4th, and if you are a Disney Plus subscriber, you can watch it, quote-unquote, for free. You have to be a Disney Plus subscriber. What do you recommend people do cost-wise with this movie? Do you think it's worth plunking down the $30? Do you think it's worth waiting until June 4th? What do you think?
See, I love the movie and I definitely support watching it, but I understand, like, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, I do want people to see this film because if it doesn't do well, who knows when we will see the next stories. So I do recommend people, if they can, to watch it. If you cannot, it's okay to wait.
Yeah. Well, we want to know what you think about Raya and the Last Dragon. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks so much, Laura, for being here.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We'll see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about the Snyder Cut. Yes, we will be talking about the 4-hour Justice League.
On NPR's Consider This podcast, we help you make sense of one big story in the news every day, like how to combat disinformation and conspiracy theories, which pose a real threat to democracy, and what life looks like after you're vaccinated, the next phase of do's and don'ts. All that in 15 minutes every weekday. Listen now to Consider This from NPR.